fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on Lulz, there is a new sports betting tax out there. We're going to discuss what's going on with that, the possible ramifications, maybe a little Rainmakers fallout after DraftKings sent out some of their offers for people's collections, and whatever else Brian and I get up to. Jeez, that's something in my throat there trying to do this cold open. I'm Pete Overzet. This is Lulz with Pete and Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, welcome to Lulz. Apologies for the late start. That was on me. Brian has been here. Brian actually gets into the hopper about 30 minutes early. Every show you do some of your vocal warm-ups and stuff. So I'm sorry to keep you waiting today, Brian.
That's all right. Yeah, I was here an hour early today.
That's what they say. If you are not an hour early to a DFS gossip program, you're late, is kind of what they say.
You know it. What are we talking about today?
Did you accept your offer on your Rainmakers?
I still haven't. You know, it's tough, you know, with that $3.75 offer. Like, should I take it? Should I get a lawyer?
Are you entering into the class action lawsuit that some of the people in the Discord were trying to rally together?
You know what? I'm owed so little. I probably should. Like, there's no downside. Those class action lawsuits are no good. Did I talk about it on the last episode?
You mentioned it a little bit. I mean, just generally not worth it. And then they like send you an email and they're like, we're going to send you a check for $13.46. But here's 10 pages of paperwork to fill out first.
Yeah, it's also, just like getting the interest to align, because usually some guys are owed way more than others. And like, you know, you're sharing the cost of a lawyer, you're going to have to pay. The lawyer's going to take a huge chunk of it. It's really for lawyers, you know? So like, if someone's owed a significant amount of money for Rainmakers and they're going to contest it, they probably should just do it on their own. That's not advice, by the way, Pete. I'm totally guessing. But class action lawsuit. Like, it'll piss off DraftKings, I'm sure. Like, they don't want to deal with it, but the lawyer is going to end up with the majority of the money.
Yeah. Yeah, we were trying to we almost had a guest that was going to come on and talk a little Rainmakers. That fell through. Truthfully, I wasn't playing Rainmakers. I wasn't in the streets. I mean, I did see some of the offers pop up on Twitter. I know, like, Cody Main and Leone and some people were joking about just kind of how embarrassing the offers were. I did hear some whales got some large numbers, but it's still like proportional to like how much they should have got. Like, they should have been given a lot more.
What I was looking at anecdotally on Twitter, it seems like a decent amount of people were satisfied with the offer. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. The whales are going to be the big ones.
I guess it all had to do with like your mentality, right? I feel like maybe a lot of whales who are kind of sharper and understand risk reward are like probably thought it could have all gone to zero, or that they would have been entitled to nothing, and are just like, oh, this actually is a pretty nice consolation prize.
That's true. They could have totally rug pulled them. And the thought experiment we had about whether DraftKings would just overpay to, you know, get the good PR, did not happen. And we did not expect that to happen. You know, I mean, it's a big corporation. You know, they're looking at the dollars and cents and they're going to go,
yeah,
how much do we have to pay here? You know, and I'm sure they're factoring in if we pay X, you know, what's the lawsuit going to look like? How much is that going to cost us? And that was the, some of that stuff looked like really legitimately hard to pay. Did you see this criticism that like the NFL bros got screwed and like the MMA bros like got like a really solid payout. The NFL bros got screwed. The PGA guys, I think it was because it had something to do with what was in season currently.
Okay.
But like I just claimed my $3.38, by the way. So that is official. I expected to get paid in 1 to 2 weeks. But I barely played as well. So me and Pete are not Rainmakers experts. Well, you know, maybe eventually we'll get somebody on.
Yeah.
Who had a bag.
Yeah. It's Mookie in the chat. Most of the offers weren't awful, but they significantly devalued the 2024 stuff by about 70%.
Okay, so that's devalued 70%. So you got 30% of your. So if you had $1,000, you get $300 offer, or $700 offer. I'm assuming a $300 offer. That's pretty bad. I was thinking it'd be in like the 60% range.
Okay. Yeah,
like 60% paid. Yeah.
Yeah, Big Dan says PGA was okay end of season and got half my money back. Cause there, yeah, I guess there are diminishing returns on your, the way that game works, like at the end of the season, right? Like the cards are to get you into these tournaments as is. Mm-hmm. So if there's tournaments, then it's like, I mean, people were always skeptical of the value year over year of those cards, right? It was basically a way to buy entry into the contest.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if they contemplated a full rug pull. At DraftKings.
Yeah, it would be, I would also be fascinated. Like you have to assume the Venn diagram of the DraftKings user base. Like say you have, you know, sports bettors, DFS players and Rainmakers. I assume the Rainmaker side has a way, way more overlap with their DFS players, right? Like they came from the DFS side than like their general sports betting audience. And I wonder if they still are just like, these are drops in the bucket to us, like of their overall pool, what they're trying to accomplish. This was such an offshoot project. I wonder if they just weren't even worried that much about the blowback.
Yeah. And, but they had to be worried about it a little bit to pay out, or that might just be like, we're clearly going to lose a lawsuit if we don't pay this out. So let's just pay some of it out. We talked about this in the Lulz Discord a little bit. I thought the interesting one was the like classic NFT cards, sports cards they had, or MOMs or whatever they call them. Because I had a couple hundred buck NFTs. Like I had that the tennis player. I can't remember her name. I had one of the tennis players that like it was $100 when I bought it.
Yeah, and
another card worth like $50. But they're not giving you anything for those. They just say you can withdraw those to a.
Right. Because that's actually easier, right? Because they're just saying, hey, we, you know, hosted on like our whatever blockchain, these collectibles, and now they're done. Like there was no future promise, I guess, with those. Or wasn't there actually, was it the Gronk ones or the Tom Brady? Or maybe I miss. Some of those were saying like they were going to unlock special experiences in the future or whatever.
Yeah, I bet they did. But I'd like to see what they're doing with those, because I'm pretty sure it's probably the same thing. You feel free to withdraw before October 31st. And it's like, what? I don't have what is it on Polygon? What network is it on? I don't even know.
Yeah, Polygon, I believe.
Polygon, yeah. And it's like, great. So essentially, that's basically a rug pull, right? Isn't that basically – it's not like – I mean, I guess you could go on there and sell it somehow. But they could, like, I don't know if the DraftKings cards, the Rainmakers cards were any. Yeah, the autograph series. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they could. I bet if they could have let some, if they had that outlet, we're like, oh, actually, we're on, you know, Dapper or something. You guys feel free to withdraw all your Rainmakers cards, but we're not going to be hosting anything going forward. That would have been, I bet they would have rug pulled that too.
Isn't that funny too? Because one of the things, you know, like the on-chain, off-chain, you know, even with Top Shot, that was a thing for a while. Like technically, you know, you weren't like the sole, you didn't have sole custody of your moments because they were on the Top Shot. And then I believe they ultimately made it to where it was like on the Flow network and you could actually have control and ownership of your moments, like off the Top Shot site. But it's funny how, like, at the time it's like, oh yeah, we want to be kind of the centralized hub for this. But then when it, like, all goes belly up, that it's like, no, take them off our site, put them on a different chain. Now they're yours. It's you've always owned them.
Do you think they explored selling? Like, let's just sell the Rainmakers product to Top Shot.
To who? I don't even think Top Shot would have. I mean, man, the space, the NFT space right now is down bad. I don't even know who would have, like, liquid powder to be able to buy that up.
We looked at the numbers on Takecast a while, not that long ago, a month or something ago, and what is the, is it Flow or whatever?
Yeah. The Flow blockchain.
It's like worth $1 billion still.
Still? There's no way they could get that from anyone.
I'm telling you, if you add up like the shares and the cost, it's still worth, because we were thinking like 50 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm
assuming that feels very high.
It was really shocking. I don't know where Davis went to look at these numbers too. And also Davis was my fact checker. So that could be.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you've been led astray, because Davis will say any number with extreme confidence and then have no clue what it actually is.
And he's not ashamed afterwards, after being proven wrong. Here, Flow on CoinMarketCap is 50 cents a share. And then how can you tell how many shares?
What's the market cap?
837 million. So it was $1 billion before this crash. I'm assuming they got hit with everyone else.
Yeah. And I think the only way to, like, rescue some of these NFT blockchains would be if Elon Musk thought it could be a platform where he could really own the libs and he could just buy it and have it be his own sandbox. he did with X.
I feel like that's the default. Like cope position, like maybe Elon Musk will buy us. our company just defaulted on all of our loans. Well, maybe Elon will buy us. I got proof here. I sent Pete.
Here it is. Let me get this pulled up on screen in a more.
Let me zoom in here.
Here you go.
That's right here.
Yeah. Look at that dead cat bounce over the past day.
Wow. Well, let's take a look at this.
Okay.
Whoa, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
137.
Yeah, Polygon is way bigger than Flow. Even MBL product is leaving Flow, which is crazy because MBL's product is called Floaty, and it's leaving Flow. So that's how you know things are bad over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but like my point, I think they probably considered it, like, for at least 5 minutes. Can anyone buy this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. You said the cope of, maybe mm-hmm. Elon will buy it. Like the old school, it reminds me of the cope of when NFTs and Top Shot weren't pumping. It was always like, wait until China gets a hold of this. Wait until China discovers NFTs. Wait until China finds the DraftKings troll avatars and gets a hold of these.
this graph is just too perfect. Bring me back up here. This is right here is where they go. Imagine when China finds out about NBA Top Shot. And then all the way here, we're like, maybe Elon will buy Flow.
Oh, man. Yeah, I haven't even, like, some of the stuff I'm still sitting on is just, it's embarrassing. Learn some good lessons. Learn some lessons, that's for sure.
I suppose. I feel like I learned nothing except pain.
I mean, I think I learned that the second you get a profit, you flip that shit, and you don't sit on it and wait for China to enter the market. you take your gains and you move on. Because I have a Moonbird that was once worth an ungodly amount of money that I decided was the future of art.
If we put it in the Louvre, if we go back to that episode, I told Pete to sell, and I never give advice, direct advice like that.
I know. There were lots of people telling me to sell. Lots of smart people.
What was it? How much was it at that point?
I think literally, like, because I had like a somewhat rare one or whatever. It was on the upper. I think mine was worth like 25 to 30 ETH at one point.
Yeah.
And this was ETH was like 3,000, you know, maybe it was like 2,800. It was a stupid amount of money for a fucking bird. I can't even talk about it. I don't even now. Every other day I get an offer on OpenSea for like 0.5 ETH for it. A real slap in the face.
I should just get rid of those notices in my Google alert or whatever. Like, I don't want your offer. I'm just too bitter.
Yeah. This is a good question too. Where do I even find my Naomi Osaka collectible?
Oh, you're in luck. I actually have one for sale right now. I'd be happy to sell you.
Let's talk about this DraftKings tax. This was a big story over the past week. I feel like all these stories keep breaking like right after we record LOLs. I want to say this was like Thursday or something. But I'll pull up some stuff here. But basically DraftKings came out. And is this already rolled out pretty much everywhere? Or was this like a mock-up of what is to come? Do you know that?
It's my understanding it's a mock-up. It won't be out until next year at the earliest. And that is something we'll have to talk about. Because I think it's not going to happen.
Interesting.
Yeah, well,
Let's first set the stage of like what this is, and then we can get into some of the takes. Let me try to zoom in on this. So there was like a full kind of press release, I think, or whatever. Oops, where am I? DraftKings CEO Jason Robbins, full quote on DraftKings winning bet tax. Obviously, some people might just react negatively to the idea of being charged at all, but it's really fairly nominal, and it makes a huge difference in our ability to make a reasonable margin, and also, more importantly, to compete with the illegal market, which pays no taxes and has the ability to invest 100% of their revenue into product and other things. So for us to be able to be competitive with the illegal market and invest properly in product and customer experience in a state that has very high tax rate, we feel it is an important step that consumers will ultimately understand. I don't know, man. If they feel the product and experience is better, then they'd rather pay for that than somewhere else that maybe doesn't have a strong product. So that's the PR speak. And then here's kind of an example of it here, where you basically place the bet and then like the surcharge is applied via the payout. And then, you know, some people were crunching the numbers on like what that results to and like the big equivalent.
Look how long it takes to place this bet. Like they're running an algorithm behind, like, is this guy sharp? Should we limit him? Right before and I think that was on the earnings call. I think that was Jason Robbins talking to investors, I believe.
Yes. So what is your, obviously, like, the people who are, you know, hyper engaged on Twitter, the people who are going to comment to this, like, they're the ones that are outraged. But DraftKings is basically making the assumption we don't even want the sharp sports bettors, right? Like, if we run you off, we want the people who don't even care, don't even notice the tax. The same people who wouldn't care if a line was -130 here and -180 somewhere else. Like, those are the people that they're banking on aren't going to care or notice.
They're clearly a recreational book. Yes.
Yeah.
It seems to me like that would turn a lot of recreational players off. I think the reaction, I mean, call me crazy, Pete. I don't know. I think the reaction is like, because it's probably, maybe it's not getting talked about enough. There was a hike on the taxes of sports books in Illinois in this last budget, in this last legislative period. So in a decent amount. Yeah. That gaming surcharge, there you go. Increases their tax rights beginning next year. Like, what do you want a business to do? Like, If Home Depot had a 40% increase in taxes on shovels, do you think they're just going to keep the price the same? You know what I mean? Or, I mean, do you think they're going to add that in, like, just eat it? You know, or are they going to put the tax on the receipt and go, oh, there's an additional tax for shovels.
What do you, is it just semantics of like, what if they just like increase the VIG, but you know, the same amount? So now like minus 110, 110 is minus 111, or whatever the math adds up for this same equivalent of tax. Like it almost feels more like dirty when you say tax of like, why didn't they just bake that in to the regular VIG?
Right. Yeah. So like one way or another, my point being one way or another, you're paying for it. It's never a tax. It's never a tax on DraftKings or a business, right? It's we all pay for it. You know, it's just another way of, you know, padding, getting the budget filled. And it's not the business that ever ends up paying for it. It's us. So I imagine that the way to do it would be like increasing like parlay odds even more. Cause you can't, it's tough to do NFL sides much more than what everyone else is doing it already. Like, even though it's a rec book, if you're at minus 120, when everyone else is at minus 110, I mean, that can't help. So you could probably hide it in like parlays and like other weird bets. You give less promos.
But it still is like, it goes back to the type of person who would notice that. Like if you're looking at an odd screener already and shopping around and see that one's, you know, sticking out like a sore thumb, like you're already the person, they're not, you know, they already know they've lost you. They don't care about you. They want someone who would ever even bought. Like there are like, I'm sure even some of my buddies, you know, if I told them like, hey, we're all going to sweat this game and bet, and like they just log onto their one site, like they are not even parsing like the difference between minus 120 and minus 150, you know, like they do not care. Here's the example that they showed. Like the bet slip shows a $10 bet at plus 100 for a payout of 20. It's not until you place the bet, however, that the bettor sees the Illinois gaming tax surcharge line. In this example, the slip shows the bettor being charged 32 cents for a total payout of 1968. And this is a really good example to do it on because the tax does seem so nominal at 32 cents, but let's start adding some zeros onto this. And all of a sudden that tax number starts to feel like, wait, why am I giving you an extra, you know, $45 for this bet?
That's a good point. Yeah. I agree with you. The recreational bettors are stupid. They don't care about price. They're not price sensitive, but like it does get into the zeitgeist. Like we have examples like, what's cheaper, your local grocery store or Whole Foods? Your local grocery store, Whole Foods is like generally known as kind of like higher quality, costs more, you know, like IKEA is known for cheaper stuff, right? Yeah. Like if you're known as like the sports book, eventually known as like, oh yeah, like every, you know, everyone at the bar is like, where are you betting? DraftKings, don't be a sucker, bro. They have the highest big, like it can't, like if after years of being the highest at 120, I think it would probably hurt your bottom line. I don't know how these other businesses are gonna keep their lines at minus 110 if DraftKings goes up. So that, I guess maybe eventually they'd all be high and it wouldn't matter. What I think this is a play on to like it's like politics. It's like a play warning. Hopefully like this gets out. And then everyone in Illinois will contact their local representative or senator and say, why do I have to pay a tax on the sports betting, you know, and complain about it. So maybe it's like a next time they negotiate, they get a little better deal. That's what
almost
I
think. Like a trial balloon to like,
it's get a trial balloon. I think they're just throwing it out there to try to get people pissed at the state. Cause clearly DraftKings doesn't want to charge you this. They'd much rather not charge you the extra 37 cents in the example.
They're not getting the money. Yep.
Go be mad. They just underestimated the intelligence of the population in Illinois. Cause that is not what's happening. People should be mad at the state for raising the price. Cause you're going to pay for it one way or another.
Taylor Cabe, co-founder CEO of ETR, had a thread on this that I thought was pretty good, which, by the way, I believe we're going to have Taylor Cabe on in a couple of weeks. So we can maybe talk about this and some other stuff. Very sharp dude who I think you know, intersects at a lot of the topics we're interested in over here, and we'll have lots of interesting things to say. But let me read some of his thoughts here. I think the most important question all sports betting stakeholders, including bettors, should be asking is what happens in the long run if betting sites are paying 30 to 50% tax rates across the board? Background, most states' sports betting tax rates are in the 10 to 20% range. New York, Pennsylvania, and Illinois, due to the recent increases, are now in that 40 to 50% range. When large states like California and Texas and even other new medium-sized states like Georgia eventually authorize sports betting, there would be zero reason not to charge 30 to 50% rates. Why would they let other similar markets capture less of the revenue than they could? With this going on, currently legal states are going to look at these tax rates and wonder why they are leaving money on the table. This is what just happened in Illinois. This doesn't mean every state will have 30 to 50% tax rates, but tax rates will go up. So what? The problem is that everyone but the largest companies are already unprofitable and or struggling. Most bettors don't care about whether a sports book can make a profit, but they should. Once it becomes clear that there's no profit for second and third tier books, more and more will cease to exist. And with that competition driven down to DraftKings, FanDuel, and a few other books in each state, I would expect to see one compete on price option with a smaller menu, worse product, etc., and the rest of the books target rec players with even higher prices than they do today. The takeaway is that you are eventually going to get higher vig one way or another, or not, if tax rates are too high. And then this is kind of what you're saying. I think DK is attempting to front run this issue with a surcharge rather than letting market forces play out in the long term. I guess a slightly different take, but at least a preemptive move by them. The worst part about all of this is that most bettors actually don't really care about price, which is why states can charge massive tax rates and why DK responded with a surcharge. I don't know if what DK is doing will work, but I actually give them credit for trying to do something about this. And then he wraps up with saying, I'm not saying people should support it, but I'm saying that if you do care about price as a bettor, you should also care about tax rates.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with pretty much all of that. They're front running the issue, whether that's my opinion too, but I don't know if he wants to go with the surcharge. I think putting pressure on for like future negotiations as well probably went in there. Letting people know, hey, just letting the public know, hey, you know, there was a huge tax. Didn't really get that much press. I think as a business in the sin industry like this, they have to like, they want these barrier of entry, and like playing at a small margin is a barrier to entry, right? Because like most companies won't be able to do that unless they're a huge scale like DraftKings is. But you still want to make a shit ton of money. So like they have to play this cat and mouse game, you know, where Jason Robbins will be like, oh, we love competition. But really, of course, why would you, as a business owner who has a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders, really want competition? So I think if the states start getting out of hand, they'll move to like a federal solution, you know, and like try to lobby Congress to make it legal federally. And then maybe with the idea of making the states compete for their company. So like, then they could go, oh, well, we're going to run out of Delaware now, so we don't have to pay Illinois taxes. And so like, there's probably some huge cat and mouse game going on behind the scenes on what they can do, because they can't just go too far, you know. And this is just a side note, Pete, with these taxes, and just the reason they can do this, the state I'm saying, is because the majority of people think gambling is like this degen, immoral, addicting behavior. And so they put it in the sin category, like cigarettes, and they could do whatever the fuck they want, and they need money because they, for tons of reasons I won't get into, but they need money. So they go, oh, we can do this to cigarettes, booze, and gambling. And no one, I mean, not even in our space, which is why I always bring it up, no one even in our space like pushes back on any of these metas. And so like, of course, this is bound to happen and always going to happen if like the biggest advocates don't even care, and all they talk about is curbing gambling addiction and shit like that. Like, of course, we're going to get these taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's bad all around too, because the other, you know, part, like, you know, KB was hitting on is like this stuff makes it so much harder for any other smaller operators to bubble up. We were just talking last week, you know, with our ProfitX guys, like they're having to go the sweepstakes model as a way to kind of the pockets you have to play in this big sandbox. Yeah. And do the legal battles, the fees, the licensing, all being able to, you know, it's like, and then you're trying to start out and you're a new company and you're having to tack on the surcharge. You're like, hey, come play on our new site and we're going to even tax you. It's like, how is any new company getting away with that? DraftKings can get away with it because they're such an institution and it's one of the only places to go.
And what do you think is going to happen to ProfitX? You know, I hope they do well, but yeah. this process behind the scenes is like tons of lobbyists and legislators and the governor all talking about and negotiating this and what the rate's going to be. It's not just like the governor goes, I want 20% rate. And they go, okay, we're going to put it through. And they put it through and he signs it. You know what I mean? Like that's not how any major legislation plays out. This was probably a big battle of competing interests and a lot of people pissed off, but they also all have relationships in real life and at the Capitol. And when they find out that there's going to be a low vig option that doesn't have to pay the surcharge tax, they're going to
go after it.
And they're going to talk to the same people they've been talking to negotiating this bill. And furthermore, now they have more ammo in their arguments. They're going to go, you just raise rates on us to pay for this. Like, how can we possibly, right? They can play the victim now. And it's like, this is why they kind of always invite regulation and say they don't.
Are the people who are passing, you know, these tax hikes, are they naive enough to not realize they're just immediately going to get passed on to the user? Or were they just assuming like, oh, maybe DraftKings will keep VIG and stuff as is and they'll take it out of their bottom line?
I don't know. I think even that's too much credit for these people. Like, I think they do not care. Most of it is just vote along party lines or leadership lines. They don't know shit about gambling. They think gambling's a tax for stupid people. You know, these are all things I heard when I worked there. So, you know, like, remember I always tell that story when I was there and I was in the poker legislation was real hot because it was just after Black Friday. And all the guys on the 2+2 forums were like, make sure they get, you know, 200 mans and 100 man sit and goes in the legislation. It's like, homeboy, do you think these legislators know what a fucking sit and go is? Like, they have no clue. They're not experts in anything. You know, this is all just business. They're just dealing with the businesses and the businesses are going, oh, we want this, we want that, or we're not going to, you know, we're going to be upset, meaning we're not going to give you your regular campaign contributions this year. So I really don't think it goes that deep. It's usually just leadership talking to the lobbyists of these companies and then coming to some sort of deal. And then and then most legislators just sign off on whatever the leadership agreed to, especially in a state like Illinois where it's all Democrats.
Yeah.
But I wish it was. I wish it was like that sort of granular conversation. And, you know, like, well, how much is it? How much is the regular Illinois member going to be, you know, get paid? How much is like I said, though, like it's really like, OK, we're going to use this money to fund programs that are important to people like education. Right. That's the argument for the legislator. And then the argument for the business is, you know, well, we need to compete versus the mob and the illegal gambling out there. So we can't be that high. Otherwise, they're just going to go overseas. That's at least one of their argument. And then they finally come to a number and it gets passed. And although DraftKings hates it, it does raise the barrier of entry, giving them more of a chance of monopoly, which is kind of what Taylor was talking about too. Like only a couple of these companies have survive. But then when ProfitX gets found out about, they'll go, or what was it? What does it call them? ProfitX or?
Profit. It was Profit Exchange, ProfitX.
Exchange. Once they find out about them, they're going to be like, listen, you're going to get less taxes for education. DraftKings will say this, you know, like this money's going to a good thing. That's what you told me. You know, they'll use their own arguments against Profit X. So,
yeah, because there's basically no way that the company is going to pass the buck on to the customer no matter what. And then it just comes down to how are they doing it? Are they hiding it in the single game parlays, like you said, or are they just going to do it out front? Which does make me buy your argument that, like, because DraftKings, there's probably more clever ways to pass the buck on to them. Doing it so out in front does seem more like a, hey, this is what's happening, everyone pay attention. Yeah. More of a waving the or sounding the alarm, so to speak.
So I was at a party over the weekend with some legislators and asked all about this in Illinois here, and they actually were working the bill. And so the interesting thing about that price and passing it on anyways was what I think was I didn't get a ton out of it, but was probably the most interesting thing. And I said at the beginning of this, I don't think it's going to happen, is because now the tax is happening, right? That's happening. It's over. Like, it's coming January 1st, but I don't think the surcharge is going to happen. It might, but I think it's less likely, is because in Illinois, and I think in many states, for a lot of like sin industries and like gas, there's a law that requires businesses to put the total displayed number to include taxes. So if you look at like a tank of gas is like $4 right now, like mm-hmm. $1.05 of that is taxes, state and federal. So like if I was a business, I'd much rather put $2.95, right? $2.95. And then when you pay, it says, you know, you get your receipt and you look at the bottom, like you paid for food, you know, and it's like, oh, there's $5 in taxes, right? God, I hate the government, right? But they won't let them do that for gas, for cigarettes, right? If you try to buy a pack of cigarettes in the city, it's, I don't even know what it is now, $15, probably $20, who knows? But like $5 of that or $8 of that is tax, maybe even 10. Like liquor is a good one. So like it's double. So like if you bought a thing of vodka for $20, 10 of that is taxes. But they won't let them put that on the bill. They make you charge it. I think it depends on the state for the specifics, but it's mainly whatever you put on the billboard has to be the total number. And their argument, from what I understand, is it's less confusing. It's less. Mm. We don't want to confuse the consumer, even though every other product the consumer buys 100 times
has
the taxes. They're just too stupid for gas. You know, they can't handle that. Not that like gas is a known issue that affects elections forever, you know, gas prices. That's not the reason why. It's because we want it less confusing. So anyways, this might be my fault. So I mentioned that. And I think now they're going to bring that up, and that might be part of, they won't let them do it.
Tell me more about this legislator party you were at.
It was like that Tom Cruise movie with Nicole Kidman.
I'm picturing
the House Stanley Kubrick Cards one.
Badass. Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Like that Stanley Kubrick one where everyone's wearing a mask.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Yeah. So it's like, now it kind of has like Swingers vibes as well to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was identical to that. There was a giant,
thanks, old man.
There was a giant owl statue that we all prayed to. It was kind of weird.
Your old cronies from when you worked at the state house?
Yeah, my cronies. I was the crony, Pete. I think
the crony wrong. Was coming from inside the house.
Yeah. It all works the same way. No matter if I was there or not, or what year it is, it's all the same shit.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Like in that other article that I had pulled up, and they were saying, I can get this back up here real quick. At the end, the big item to watch is the reaction from customers, which will largely be influenced by the forthcoming decision from market leader FanDuel. If DraftKings finds itself on an island as the only sports betting brand charging customers an extra fee for winning, it may have to consider cutting its losses and abandoning this plan together. But it's like, how would those other companies, if everyone's being charged the same tax or being, you know, facing the same tax hike, like they're not going to be able to survive it. Like they're not just there. Everybody's going to have to reckon with it.
Yeah. Right. Like the smaller companies that they got this through, I don't get it. Like some of the owners of these casinos in Illinois are some of the most influential, if that's what you want to call it, powerful people in Springfield. And like, they're the reason why we don't have poker in Illinois. And they still got this 20% hike through, which shows you what Pritzker's power is and that's because he's rich and he can, if they try to run someone against someone who votes for something he wants, he can fund their campaign. So he's got quite a bit of power to pull this off.
Yeah.
But it'll be a good question. I don't know how many, I think there's about 7 sportsbooks live in Illinois right now. So we'll come back a year from now. We'll see, or maybe 2 years from now, and see how many.
Yeah, it can survive all of this. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer because it seems like we're headed the same, you know, the same thing with the DFS thing where it's just like, there's so few options.
It's so like black pilling and depressing. Like when we, cause remember like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it's like, first of all, like 15, 20 years ago, sports betting was awesome. Like there was like NetTeller, there was like all these options and all 100 sports books, all the bonuses overseas. There'd be the occasional rug pull, of course, but like it lasted until like 2006, I think. And anyways, and then like, remember the solution was like, you know, crypto. Crypto's going to be, because then there's nothing they can do about it. And we can have peer-to-peer betting and all these options. And or even it's like, well, maybe it'll get legalized. Imagine if it gets legalized, how amazing that'll be. And it's like the legalized version is worse than the wild, wild west option where you could get rug pulled.
Right. Someone asking, does this affect best ball? I mean, I think they're asking this in earnest, like would the tax be applied to that? But,
in earnest or as a joke, that's hilarious. but the big question is, does this affect best ball?
That's what happens when we're on this channel. It's, no, because that's always going to be part of the UAJ carve out, right? Which is plays in a completely different sandbox and set of rules.
Right. Yeah. Until they change that too.
Change that.
Right. And they could do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. But does this affect best ball? No. My understanding is it doesn't affect DFS or best ball, which is indirectly kind of a bonus for us because they might put less money into sports betting if their margins are so low and put it back into best ball and DFS maybe.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? You go to sign up for the puppy, $5, and it was like, you know, $5.32 to enter this contest. I don't think that would slow anyone down though.
No, I mean, but isn't it kind of boggle your mind? It's like, this is how it works everywhere, guys. Like, why are we freaking out? Like, this is like literally, like if you went and bought a burrito, you know, and it went up, the taxes went up 8 cents, you wouldn't even blink an eye.
Yeah. I do think it's just part of the culture of sports betting, right? And just where you're moving, where it's so hard to be profitable and like the margins are so thin and everything with line shopping. And so people are just like on pins and needles with anything that makes it slightly harder to be profitable. Which again, you know, this is these sports betting sites. They want the people who are on there treating it like an entertainment product, not trying to beat them. So from their perspective, it isn't any different than buying a burrito.
It shows you just how much they like care about you at all. Like there's no talk about, you know, should they not limit winning players? You know, they're not questioning their business. Should they, you know, should they be allowed to promote that anyone could win, you know, like that anyone could win, but yet if you do win, they limit you. Should they be allowed to offer parlays with huge negative correlations, like who will win a division and in football, like those are super uncorrelated, like almost impossible, or who'll make the playoffs, I suppose, like but if one makes it, it's less likely for the other one to make it. It's like, why are you promoting these highly uncorrelated negative EV. They don't answer those. You know, they don't ask those questions. It's just like, how much can we get out of this syntax of this sin industry where they won't be super pissed at us and they'll still give us money and they get their little monopoly. And all right, let's move on to the next industry.
The Donnie in the chat says, I'm getting a fuckload of ads during this stream. Good Lord. Well, YouTube actually increased how much I have to pay them to host stuff. And so now I'm just having to pass the buck onto the viewers and adding more ads. So, I mean, it's trickle down economics, guys. You know, if you were watching, the Olympics and they started running ads, would you be freaking out? This should be no different here, Dottie.
I mean, YouTube is more of a sin industry than gambling. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. What you think Brian and I are just giving you guys 45 minutes of free content today out of the goodness of our heart? No. We're milking you for those ad dollars on our way out.
They're pumping the YouTube subscription, by the way. Do you have that, Pete? I'm assuming you do.
No, you I need to get it though. Like, cause when like April will watch like Miss Rachel or something and I'm having to hit skip ad for her. I'm like, I've almost broken and just been like, I'm just paying
for it. You should. It's not just that. Some of the ads are like, this isn't for this for kids. Like, how's that on here?
I guess on the one hand, it's like, well, I'm glad they're not showing her things that she would like, you know, really want to have or whatever, you know, but on the other hand, it's like, well, why are you showing my 19-month-old a Cialis ad? Like what's going on here?
Right. Yeah. You're wasting money, first of all.
Yeah. Like what happened to your, it's like some of the ad stuff, you know, like that you'll get on Instagram. It's like so perfectly triangulated, right? Where they know like someone else who's at the same IP address was looking at this product. And so now we're going to show it to you because you guys were probably talking about it. And that's when people get the conspiracy theories that they're like tapping your phone lines and know what you're talking about. It's like, no, they're just like triangulating IP addresses and cookies or whatever. It's like, it's so good. But then like, my 19-month-old is like getting stuff to buy a Hummer while she's wired.
They're not there yet. They're not there yet. Yeah. But don't you remember being a kid, like in like the G.I. Joe commercials would come on? You're like, oh yeah. You know, like some of those commercials were great when you were a kid.
Yeah. I do apologize that we had to have an abbreviated episode today. I'm hopping over on the Dog Pound YouTube account to do a draft with him right now. Brian, that's my bad. We had to cut lulls a little short, but we have some guests booked for the coming weeks here. We have 1 week I think we're going to be off, and then we have guests booked for the two other weeks, I believe.
Yeah, I think we got guest, week off, guest.
Yep. Sweet. Yeah. One of them is Taylor. KB, do you want to tease our other guests for, that is next week. D Fustel. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. I think it's, Elihu. I think is how you pronounce his first name. We'll have to ask. Yeah. He's written, multiple sports betting books. He was just on Bet the Process. You guys check that out. Shout out to our boy, Neil, got a job at RG. Wanted to say that earlier. And, we just did two more Endgame Syndicate videos on best ball equilibrium strategies, and we moved it up to a six-person draft. I just released them 5 minutes before we did this stream with Nerdy Tenor. So anyone who has a sub there, check them out. Or if you're into that best ball equilibrium strategies, you might enjoy it.
Awesome. Yeah, I still have that bookmarked. I'm very excited to check that out. I've been wanting to get into it. Have you guys gotten some good feedback on that?
We haven't gotten a ton of feedback yet. We got to get more best ball bros in there. But the kind of answers, you know, we're like slowly answering questions and coming up with equilibrium strategies you can actually use, like as you draft. And like, so like the first toy game we made was just like a head to head best ball, you know, and then a three-man best ball. And then a three-man draft, but you're in a tournament, you know, with 500 other teams drafted. How does that change things? And then slowly work each toy game up to be more and more complicated and resemble actual draft. And it's nice. Getting pretty big. Yeah. And so, you know, like for example, like if you were looking at like Chris McCaffrey or CeeDee Lamb, I don't know what their projections are, but leaving other things aside, like correlations and stuff for a second, and McCaffrey's significantly more points projected Like, let's say all that's true and there's no injury concerns. Like, you so far in all these toy game strategies, you never take CeeDee Lamb to be different. Which is something we used to talk about before. Now, like, Christian McCaffrey, not this year, but has had injury concerns in at least people's heads. And that could lead you to. But, yeah, the idea of getting different, you basically take – if there's a significant difference in projection, right? If there's, like, a – if it's very similar, then you can might use a mixed strategy. But if there is a large difference in any tier, like even from the second player to the third player, that's not where you're going to get different based on what we've found using equilibrium strategies, not like exploitative.
Nice. I'm excited to check that out. And I'm also just getting super excited for the battle royales again this year. You and I were kind of in the lab on some of that stuff last year, excited to see what we can improve on and with some more data and a year under our belt. My stuff, like I said, I'm going to go over on the Fantasy Dog Pound right now with Pat and do a stream. And then I got back-to-back shows tonight. Tyler, aka Emo Cowboy, you guys know him from around the Deposit Kingdom, streams over on Fantasy Sanctuary. He's my guest on the randomizer. The wheel is packed. Lots of fun prompts. That'll be at 7:45. And then on Ship Chasing at 9, we're doing our first live FFPC main event. That's the $1,800 buy-in, a $1 million top prize. That's a season-long contest, tight end premium, all that good stuff. So that's our first one of those to kick off four straight weeks of FFPC main event drafts. Otherwise, Brian and I will be back next week with our guest. And yeah, enjoy your week, guys. We'll see you next time on Lulz.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.